This Pentecost Day is an ancient feast that the children of Israel celebrated at the end of the harvest time. And it was not just a harvest festival, but it was when the harvest was completely finished and all the grain and all that was going to be stored was all set. And it was a time to stop and give thanks to God for the abundance of the earth. So after 50 days since the resurrection of the Lord, we celebrate this great feast of Pentecost. Pentecost literally means 50 days. And we continue that same tradition of celebrating with grateful hearts the great harvest of grace that God himself is working in our midst and that we cooperate with. And it's hard to sum up this feast because the coming of the Holy Spirit is really the birth of the church. He comes with power, a strong driving wind, with tongues of fire, and he is the one who leads us into all truth. He is the father of the poor. He is the advocate. He is the comforter. He's the one that gives us strength. He's the one that opens our minds and our hearts to understand the word of God. He's the one who continues to function and allow the risen Lord to heal, to forgive sins, to be present to us in the Eucharist, this Holy Spirit. It's all of that. So I have no way other than spending about 2 hours to communicate all of that. And yet I have one little incident that might help. It took place about 20 years ago, and I was on sabbatical and in Berkeley, of all places, and I heard this priest who had been raised as a Southern Baptist, and then as an adult, he converted to Catholicism and then became a priest. But when he preached, a lot of his Southern Baptist roots would come out, and he could not preach without working up a sweat and being very emotional and affective. And on Pentecost Sunday, he said, "I have to tell you that my faith is Catholic, but my religion is the opera." And he said, in this religion, which is a whole world unto itself, there are gradations, there are levels of holiness, if you will. On the first level, and you have to really be a talented, wonderful, gifted singer and actor just to make it on the first level, to make it on the stage in the opera. You have all of these wonderful talented people, and we don't know their names because there are many of them, and they're very important to the opera on that first level. When they're on stage, they're singing beautifully and they're acting, but when you're watching their performance, you know you're watching a performance. You're watching people singing and acting. On the next level, he said, are these great figures like Marian Anderson and Leontine Price and Luciano Pavarotti and Vittorio Grigolo, who shows up here every once in a while and without a microphone fills this church, and Placido Domingo, Jesse Norman, and people like that, these famous Dame Joan Sutherland, who are not only immensely talented and gifted and great actors, but when they are on stage, it is so beautiful and wonderful to experience them that they can make you forget that they are acting and that they're performing. They have a way of pulling you in. And then he said, in this religion, so that's the next level, in this religion, at the very top, the goddess, if you will, of this religion is one person. And he said, her name... And you have to let him be the person who makes this decision, I guess. But her name is Maria Callas, and you have to think of Maria Callas at La Scala in Milan, at the best opera house in the world, according to him. And he said, when she is on stage, she not only is talented and beautiful and a gifted actor and performer, striking in the way that she is able to reach out and make you forget that you are even not in this world. She wraps her arms around you with her voice and her beauty and her spirit, and embraces everybody and brings us all into this world, and we are on fire with the performance and the beauty and the wonder of the giftedness of this woman. Said she's the goddess in this religion. And he said, for me, that's the opera, another world. But for me, that is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit of God reaches out, makes us forget about ourselves, and pulls us into the wondrous world of God's grace and love in the very heart of God. The Holy Spirit wraps his arms around us and as a community brings us into the wonder of that wonderful space. So that's really all I have to say about that. Sorry. I know you're cheering for the brevity, but I still have a couple minutes, so I wanted to share just two more things. One is a prayer from John Henry Newman. It's a beautiful way of summing this up. That his prayer is, "Come, Holy Spirit, make our ears to hear, make our eyes to see, make our mouths to speak, make our hearts to seek, make our hands to reach out and touch the world with your love. Amen." And finally, I just found this week, and I love this poem, and it's by Antonio Machado. It's translated from the Spanish, and he evokes the way the Spirit, the woman at the well, when Jesus says, "I can give you living water," evokes that living water, she'll never be thirsty again. Or the worker bees, the way with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we all work together in unity like the bees around the great hive. And the burning sense of the Holy Spirit that sometimes, occasionally in our lives, we actually do feel the burning love of God and his Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's called "Last Night as I Lay Sleeping." "Last night as I lay sleeping, I dreamed, O blessed art, of fountain water leaping and flowing in my heart. Where is the hidden channel, I cried, that was equipped to bring to me this spring of life from which I never sipped? Last night as I lay sleeping, I dreamed, O blessed art, a hive of bees was reaping its nectar in my heart. The worker bees, so golden, were filling up the cracks with sorrows they converted into honey and white wax. Last night, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed, O blessed art, a burning sun was steeping the blood within my heart. I know that it was burning. I felt its heat inside. I know that it was sunlight. It shone, and then I cried. Last night, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed, O blessed art, that God himself was keeping watch inside my heart. It's this that makes my spirit spin, my bones to quake, my blood run thin, my very pulse create a din. It's this that makes my spirit spin, my flesh to melt inside my skin. It's this that makes my spirit spin, that heaven is not up, but in. I hope you're applauding for the real Sister Mary Ignatius, who wrote those last few lines in 1942.